Blog Talk Radio.
Morning's episode is entitled "A House Divided Against Itself Cannot Stand." You have to forgive trauma to be free. Our study is taken from Genesis chapter 3, which some refer to as the fall of man. And we're going to take a deeper look at this chapter because it is pivotal for our understanding of the rest of the book of Genesis. It is pivotal for our understanding of biblical soteriology, that is, the doctrine of salvation. It is pivotal for our understanding of the term redemption, which means to buy back or to purchase. It is pivotal for our understanding of sanctification, which means to be set aside unto God. God said, be, he used the state of being verb, be you holy as I am holy. That is to his people. As a divine imperative, as a divine mandate, be ye holy as I am holy. Indeed, the rest of the book of Genesis, after the historic Babel or flood, will focus on one family, that is, the beginning in Genesis after the flood. The focus will be on the family of Abram and then Abraham. And we will see some very important family dynamics go on there. Even before that, it was in the family of Noah, who will see something very interesting with regards to Noah and one of his sons. We will see in the book of Genesis two family lines that began, that will separate. We will have the line, the godly line of Seth, and then we'll have the ungodly line of Cain. Now, you know that Cain slew his brother Abel, whose name means wrath. And then Kavah, we call her Eve. Hava had another son after the sacrifice, after the slaughter of Abel. The death of Abel was the first fratricide in history, the killing of one's brother. And so we will have two family lines leading up to the flood. But interestingly enough, those two, the godly line and the ungodly line, will at some point merge. And so then a very interesting phenomenon occurs. So Genesis is pivotal for our understanding of God's plan of salvation. The flood will bring decreation. We will have the reversal of creation that started in Genesis 1 and that is revisited in Genesis chapter 2. We will have reversal of creation, de-creation. And then after the Mabel, God will bring back creation again. So some very interesting things occur in the book of Genesis. But our focus this morning is on this house that has been divided by sin. There is a God. God has been attacked. Other than a cash in a very subtle and destructive manner. And in fact, God has been slandered. Now, in the Old Testament, slander means to stand against the life of another. It is attack upon the essence. It is attack upon the character of an individual. Here, we have had, there is an attack on the character and on the veracity of God. Here's the first theological conversation God is talked about. God is talked about. And so we have an interpretation of the character of God from the Nakash. And then, from the woman, she redacts in some manner what God, the command of God, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The test was obedience. Now, understand this was a test by God. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verses 15 and 16, the Adam is commanded. Is given a command about this tree. Is not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is not to bother that tree. So in Genesis 3, what we have is mental combat. There should have been mental combat on the part of the Adam and his wife, but notice the Adam is silent in this in this encounter with the Nakash. He is silent. We do not hear his objection. We do not see or read that he asserted himself about the situation and what it would mean. The Bible says to him, in verse 17 of chapter 3, we read to the Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the Adama. Because of you, or the ground. Through painful toil, notice the verb eat, through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. And to the wife, we read in verse 16, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing, the pain will give birth to children, your desire will be for your husband. And he will rule over you. Now, this is a new thing. This is not in the original order of creation. Very interesting. And so, as we move over to verse 18, God continues to say of the ground, he's speaking directly to Adam, it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat. Again, the verb eat, a cow, you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, into dust, you return. Now, I'm sure you know that the basic chemical components of the body are found in the soil, in the ground. This was verified a long time ago. And also, as an aside, there are four basic blood types or blood groups among human beings found globally, found throughout the world. A, B, and O. These are global. And in verse 20, God says something very interesting. He says, and the Adam named his wife Chava, Chavyeh, because she would become the mother of all the living. And so, in Acts 17:6, Paul states that God has of one blood created all men. And so, the scripture does not use the word race, ethne, is the word that's used in the Greek, ethne, for nations. So, scientists know that human blood or human blood groups point back to a single genetic origin for all people, regardless of so-called race. And so this is very important to note. It is, and I won't belabor this point. Let me move on. And so in verse 21, it reads, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. So, in their own efforts, we read in verse 7, the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And this is a symbol, this is a symbolic of human incompleteness. Here is an attempt to fabricate their own righteousness, their own righteousness. And Isaiah points out that our righteousnesses, plural, our righteousnesses, human righteousnesses, it is our viewpoint of what light is, are as filthy rags before God. And so God is not going to accept the human viewpoint of what constitutes righteousness. God is the creator of all. God created the home as created by God has been destroyed through sin, through willful rebellion, and God knows this, and so he comes in and God judges the serpent. God judges the woman. God judges the Adam, because he was complicit in his wife's behavior. And he did not follow doctrine. He did not listen to the word of God. He chose to violate the covenant relationship over that he with God, and by doing so, he destroys his home. He destroys the home that God gave him. And so let us carefully understand that when we violate the Word of God, we are contributing to our own misfortune. The reversal of circumstances that the Adam is experiencing is due to his own negligence. And he is accountable for his negligent action. So judgments are consequences, the consequences of willful rebellion and negligence. The judgment, the different judgments are formal, they are real. The evidence has been gathered by God. And so God knows, God has the evidence, God has passed sentence on the guilty ones. And so God passes sentence, and then he steps in verse 21, and he made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. God tossed away, God tossed out the clothing, as it were, that they made for themselves. Notice, the garments were made of skin, and so therefore a life was sacrificed. And so because a life was sacrificed, this means that blood was shed. So the life of another was given in order to clothe them appropriately before God. Now, this act on God's part is symbolic of his forgiveness. He forgave them. They all did. They all sinned against God. Cash, woman, and the Adam all sinned against God. God forgave the man and his wife. And so what we have here, by God clothing them, we have a picture of what God will do through his son on Calvary in 33 AD, in that his son will give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of God will die on behalf of the Adam and his wife and many, many, many others. So the action of God toward those who have sinned against him, that is the first pair, the first couple, the first family, God steps in. And through his own actions, he forgives. We read in the New Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. The term remission means forgiveness. This house was indeed divided against itself due to sin. Please note that In the New Testament, we have different names for the shining one, the Nakash. He is called Satan, the devil. And there are some other names given him in Revelation chapter 12. But the term devil or diabolos means one who divides, or it means literally to toss or to throw through. And he divides, therefore he divides for no reason. And he has divided this home. He has set this home up against, and Jesus says in the last chapter, that is chapter 7 of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about those, the importance of building one's life upon his word. We see the failure of the Adam. We see what has happened to his home and the wise man, the wise woman, those who build their lives upon the word of God. This is Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house. It fell not, for it was founded upon rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, God knows the necessity for you and I to build our lives right by building our lives upon the rock or the foundation of his word. We cannot afford to look out at what is going on in the world and to attempt to fit ourselves into the mold of the world. There's an article on Yahoo, and it was entitled It Sucks. This is the language that's used in this article. Quote, "It sucks to be a Christian these days." That's not a full article, unquote. That's not the full name. So I read some of it, and again, it's the same facile style of writing, and this individual talks about, you know, he gave his resume on what he did within the visible church, and it was flaccid, it was facile, it was very childish. And there's another article several months back about a young person who supposedly was a theologian, and he wrote a very disconcerting article for the Huffington Post about the non-existence of Jesus, and he attacked the biblical documents. So I wrote him back and asked him some more details about his background. He complied, and he wrote me some more details about his background. Then I asked him if he had any technical expertise in textual criticism and some other disciplines. And what was his, had he studied Greek and Hebrew and some and Aramaic and that. And I asked him about his knowledge of history. No. asked him had he familiarized himself with some other disciplines, and asked about the quest for the historical Jesus, and he was familiar, he said, with the 19th century material and in the early 20th century theologians. So he wrote this piece, decrying, speaking against the Word of God, and I sent him another email, and he never wrote me back. It is unfortunate that individuals do not really appreciate many today what the Word of God is. It is unfortunate that people's minds have been weakened by churchianity, and they have not had a genuine encounter with the living Christ. So, in the future, what will happen to these individuals? I don't know. God knows. But the West has most certainly attacked the faith once all given to the saints. And Jude says we're to strive earnestly for the faith once all given to the saints. Please read Jude. Please read 1 John. And he talks about the antichrists that will come. And John said even now there are many antichrists in the world. Now that you know, it is the last time. So what are the antichrists going to attack? They're going to attack the Word of God. They're going to be given a pulpit. They're going to be given a soapbox to decry the Word of God. They're going to attack the homes. They're going to attack classic gender, male-female. And they're going to have hybrid genders. They're going to have genders that are made up, but and fed to society. They're going to have all kinds of nonsense marketed to people. You and I know the importance of standing on the Word of God. So God made garments of skin for the Adam and his wife and clothed them. God forgave those who stood against him. God forgave them through his son that would give his life in 33 AD. This is a pivotal verse because forgiveness, divine forgiveness, is going to restore and heal this home that has been compromised by sin. In chapter 4, there will be the phacocide, the slaying of Abel. The family will suffer that loss. God will provide another child. In Genesis 4:25, his name is Seth. Seth will be the third son that we know of, will be Adam and his wife. Good morning. My name is Dr. Cyrich. God bless you and have a wonderful day.